Who am I really? What is reality, for that matter? In fact, what is matter, or time, or cause and effect? These are old questions, asked and answered again and again by philosophers and scientists. They were still asking them over the weekend at a Nature of Reality conference at Colorado State University. They talked about quantum theory, relativity, and the new physics. Discoveries in atomic science that cast new light on old questions, or maybe just add to the list. One speaker was Fritjof Capra. A few years ago, he wrote The Tao of Physics, a book which linked the findings of modern science with ancient Eastern philosophies. It set off a wave of interest in how our most common notions about reality break down in the world of the very small.
Let's talk about an electron, which is sort of, you know, the smallest entity we know. And we have the tendency of picturing it somewhat like a grain of sand. Well, this is very wrong. It's not an isolated entity. It's not a grain of sand. It cannot be said to exist even in a certain place at a definite time. It's a sort of, you know, very nebulous entity, seemingly, which requires a whole new set of concepts and ideas to be described. What emerged in the last 15 years is that the new worldview that came out of modern physics is in fact not limited to physics, but is emerging now also in the other sciences, in biology, in psychology, in the social sciences, and it is best described by calling it a systems view.
Could you give us an example?
Let's talk about medicine, for instance. Conventional Western medicine is based on Descartes' view of the human body as a machine, in fact, as a clockwork. And when a clock doesn't function, you look for the single part that has broken down, and you, by an act of intervention, you replace that part. This is what doctors do now in terms of physical intervention through surgery or chemical intervention through drugs. The new kind of view would be seeing the human organism as an integrated whole which has physical aspects, biological aspects, but also psychological aspects, and which is embedded in a natural environment and in a social and emotional environment.
Now, going back to physics for 1 minute, What do we see on the atomic level that gets us to that same place?
Nothing. Physics cannot be used as the basis for the new worldview. You cannot understand a living organism in terms of physics alone. Of course, it does satisfy the laws of physics, because it is also, you know, made of physical constituents like molecules and atoms. But in order to understand life, and therefore in order to understand health, you have to have a broader framework.
Could you give just a couple of examples?
The shift from the part to the whole was maybe the central development in quantum theory, when physicists recognized that subatomic particles cannot be seen as isolated entities, but rather have to be seen as interconnections in a web of relationships. The other one, a very dramatic development, was Einstein's discovery that mass is nothing but a form of energy. Mass does not measure a certain material substance, but measures activity or process, and therefore a very dramatic shift from thinking in terms of substance and structure to thinking in terms of process.
It seems to me that there are hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people on college campuses, going to conferences, who are utterly fascinated by implications of some connection between the way we view the cosmos, between philosophy, between religion, and physics. But most of these people and most of their ideas in the mainstream society are considered somewhat on the fringe. Why is that?
Einstein was very much considered on the fringe. Beethoven was considered on the fringe. Mozart was considered on the fringe. This always happens with new creative ideas. And the worldview that emerged from modern physics is really something radically new and is something very disturbing.
What is the thought that is most uncomfortable?
Even more disturbing to physicists than to people outside of science is the fact that there are no well-defined isolated objects, that we are all embedded in a network of relationships where what you call an object depends very much how you look at it. Furthermore, that this network is not static but is in continual process. So it is the relativity and the impermanence of existence. Now, this is very disturbing because it leads you to recognize the impermanence of your own existence, the illusion that we are a well-defined, you know, isolated self, that we have a well-defined isolated ego. And this is very disturbing to many people. It is not disturbing to people typically in spiritual traditions. To Buddhists, for instance, this is the very foundation of Buddhist thinking and Buddhist living. But to most Westerners, it is extremely disturbing.
Physicist Fritjof Capra heads the Elmwood Institute in Berkeley, California.